Our scripture passage this morning is Luke 7, verse 36 through 50. And if you're still on the page from our responsive reading, you don't have to flip return. But before we read God's word, please join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. We ask that right now you would bless us with the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that we would be brought to an awareness of our sin, and that the Holy Spirit would apply the comfort that is found in Christ. Lord, we come with tons of things on our mind, worries, concern, guilt, shame, so many things. I ask this morning that we would hear from you, Lord. Christ, that you would speak to your people, that you would feed us, for we are the flock of your pasture. I pray this in your name. Amen. Luke 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And so he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay him, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Meals are often an extension of hospitality. Meals can also be a time for refreshment with loved ones, good food, and the people that you enjoy being around. But sometimes meals can also be the setting for an evaluation. Many of you perhaps have experienced this. You had a job interview that was over lunch, and there you are scanning the menu, trying to find the messiest item and avoiding it. When I asked my mother-in-law for my wife's hand in marriage, it was over a meal. And I remember eating as slow as possible and keeping my elbows off the table per Angie's request. But in our text this morning, we do see both evaluations and expectations over a meal. We see expectations and evaluations collide. And it all starts with an invite for a meal from Simon the Pharisee. Verse 36 says that Jesus agreed to come to Simon's house and eat with him. Luke doesn't immediately tell us why Simon wished to have Jesus over, but it does become apparent later in the account. Just recently, Jesus had raised the son of a widow. This took place in Nain, and the people couldn't believe it. A prophet is among us. God has visited his people. And so Simon, being a Pharisee, being a religious leader, decides to investigate. Has a prophet really come among us? Has God really visited his people? And so, as we see, Jesus accepts his invite, comes over, and eats. Nothing striking about that. But for Luke's original audience, there's something missing. Something that Jesus notes is lacking from Simon's welcome. There is a way to greet a teacher, as Simon calls him in verse 40. How we receive people into our house for a meal can say a lot. Imagine I invite you over for a meal, and it's a cold winter day, and there you are. You arrive bundled up, head to toe, and as I invite you in, I don't offer to take your coat. I don't offer to take your gloves. I don't offer you a handshake, a hug. I don't offer you a Christian side hug. Nothing. That would mean something. It would communicate something to you. And this meant a lot for Simon's culture. When the teacher comes to your house for a meal, you greet him with a kiss. You call for the mixture of water and olive oil so he can wash his hands and his feet. Traveling by sandals can make your feet a bit dirty. And if you don't do it, you ask your servants to do it. This dinner invitation starts with a snub to Jesus. And Simon knows it, Christ knows it, and the people around, as meals were often made available to the public at this time, especially when a guest was attending that had a big name, they would have noticed it as well. And Simon's lack of a proper welcome is noted by another pair of eyes as well. An unexpected guest in the home of a Pharisee, a sinner. Not just any sinner, but as verse 37 tells us, a woman who is known in the city as a sinner. It may well be that she is a woman of the night, but there's plenty of other ways to be known as a sinner. It seems a bit odd if you say it out loud, a very sinful woman is crashing a meal in the house of a Pharisee holding an expensive flask of fragrant oil. It just seems out of place. The text makes us wonder, why is she there? Well, doubtless, this woman had heard the preaching of Christ. She had heard him proclaim her debt and her inability to pay it off. But much to her surprise, she would have then also heard Christ say that her debt can be forgiven. That as she responds to Christ, his words with faith and repentance, she would be forgiven. And so she comes to Simon's house looking for Jesus to express love and gratitude. Because that's what you do when someone pays off your debt. Recently, Morehouse College, the graduating class of 2019, had a very interesting commencement speaker. He informed the students, billionaire Robert Smith, that he was going to set up a grant to pay off all their student loans. Now, surely we would expect those students to push through the crowds to make their way to this billionaire and give him a hug, give him a kiss. Thank you for promising to rid me of my student loans. And we see a similar occurrence in Luke 17. Jesus heals 10 lepers, but only one comes back. And Jesus asks, where are the 9? This woman comes to give love and gratitude to Christ. And the last thing she's expecting to see is the Messiah, God's final prophet, be treated as an inferior to Simon. to be publicly humiliated. If I could attempt to illustrate, let's say that your salvation came from hearing a sermon from a minister. And even though you were in a crowd, it basically sounded like this minister knew you, had been following you, reading your text messages, because everything he was saying was directly about you. And overwhelmed with conviction and grief in your sin, he then talks to you about forgiveness, about Christ, and you turn from your sins. And as you're experiencing this joy, the crowd begins to try and shame this minister. They call him a fraud. They treat him as a liar. They treat him as one who's telling people a bunch of lies. Surely this woman is trying to understand, how could this prophet who has proclaimed liberty to those in debt be treated in such disgusting way? And that's when the tears begin to flow. Many of the church fathers believe that she's crying because she can't believe Jesus is being treated this way. And as we'll see later, that even with Simon being a disrespectful host, Christ is still speaking to Simon. He's still trying to love on him and bring him to truth. And so in verse 38, she lowers herself to the feet of Christ and she says, "Well, I'll do what Simon failed to do." And like a servant, she begins to wipe and wash the feet of Christ. Now, if this were a movie, at this point, the camera would zoom out and we would see the look of shock on everyone's face as they're seeing this woman cry and wash the feet of Christ. And everyone there would be expecting Jesus to excuse her actions or to apologize for her, and he doesn't. And the only thing we would hear is her weeping over the feet of her Savior. And then the camera would move to our good friend Simon. And we would see his face express adamant disapproval. And then we would stop hearing this woman weeping and we would hear Simon begin to evaluate. We would hear him say, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Do you hear those evaluations? This man, if he were a prophet. And this woman who has been forgiven, freed of her debt, in the eyes of Simon, is just a sinner. Here is Simon believing that he is sufficient to evaluate, that he has the gift of discernment. As far as Simon is concerned, verse 39 could also go like this. If this man were a prophet, he wouldn't receive love and gratitude from someone I have nothing to do with. If this man were a prophet, he wouldn't bring a message that I disagree with. If this man were a prophet, surely he wouldn't be like this. Because Simon, like many of us today, make the mistake of thinking that God is like us. That he's willing to receive the same people that we will receive, or he's going to reject the same people that we reject. This is not only Simon's failure, but this has been much of Israel's history concerning their prophets. When a prophet sounds like the people, they rejoice. When the prophet says to God's covenant people, "You're right," they love it. But when the messenger of God comes with a true evaluation, gave the people a true insight into their condition, they rebelled, they persecuted them, And in even some cases, like the prophet Jeremiah, they threw him in a well. Egypt is going to deliver us, is what the people say. And Jeremiah says, that's not from the Lord. And they throw him in a well. Simon is following in the long line of Israelites who trust their own evaluations and close their ears to the prophets. This woman, when she is confronted with the message of her true condition, you're in debt, she humbles herself and repents and accepts the word of Christ. But not Simon, because Simon has the better evaluation. Simon knows better than God's prophet. Have you ever interacted with someone who never bends under anyone else's word? Have you ever spent time with someone whose sole confidence is in their own evaluation skills, their own discernment? Do you like spending time with that person? We avoid those kind of people. But here we see the heart of Christ. He doesn't avoid this know-it-all. He accepts his invite, goes to his house, eats with him, and says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon's evaluation has not helped him up until this point. But lucky for him, Jesus is willing to allow Simon's gift of discernment to shine forth with a parable. In verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. This is the worst question to get right. Simon getting this right is not to his compliment, but to his shame, because it means he gets it. That the tables have turned and now Simon and this woman are under the evaluation of Christ. Simon, who is blind to his debt, is being informed that you owe. And he's blind to that. It's interesting that Jesus' original message, both to this sinful woman, Jesus doesn't hold anything back. He notes her sin as being equivalent to 500 denarii. In verse 47, her many sins. He doesn't cover the fact that this woman is a sinner. But what does she do? She responds in faith. She receives the confronting word of Christ, and that enables her to receive the comforting word of Christ. Your sins are forgiven. But Simon rejects anything that Christ has to say to him. It's almost as if Jesus is saying to Simon, well, Simon, you believe you're in a position to say who is and is not a good prophet, or who is and is not a sinner, but you have failed a test. You have been evaluated and you have been found wanting. You have little love for God. Christ not only reveals the true condition of sinners, but the question in verse 50, who can forgive sins? Verse 49, Jesus is also the answer to that question as well. I can forgive sins, saith Christ. He's the prophet who can not only reveal our true condition, but then can grant forgiveness. Jeremiah could not do that. This question that's a burden for the people, who is this that can forgive sins, shows us the heart of Christ. Here, Jesus is trying to expose the sins both of Simon and this woman. But why? Often we're so afraid to have our sin exposed because we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be shamed. People will talk to us about our failures and shortcomings, and we say that you're judging me. But Christ is exposing their sin to save them. He's not exposing Simon's flaw to flaunt it over his head, but to fix him, to forgive him. And this makes Christ the perfect prophet, because he knows our true condition. We can fool others and even fool ourselves. I'm a loving person. I'm a patient person. I'm a good coworker. I'm a good Christian. But the words of Christ give us a true understanding of where we stand. And he doesn't do it to shame. He doesn't just point his finger at your sin, but he extends his hand. Come to me and be forgiven. Come to me and be made new. This woman could have fled from Christ. You're just telling me how sinful I am. But she sees that he's also bringing forgiveness. Christ is bringing a confronting word to Simon. He won't listen. And that's why Simon will also miss the comforting word of Christ. Excuse me. Everyone at this meal would have called this woman a sinner, but to separate her, not to plead with her to forsake her sin and seek God. But here comes Christ bringing us the love we need. Do you know that you need that kind of love? That the words of Christ in preaching and teaching will show you your true condition, will reveal to you how you operate as a forgiven sinner. To give an example, I can remember going into marriage thinking that I was pretty good at loving people. And I don't even think I need to finish that. The words of Christ expose us. He shows us where we have strayed, but he brings with him forgiveness and his spirit to impart obedience. How does this sinful woman receive exaltation? And Simon, the master of the law, the religious leader of the people, receive humiliation. Not listening to what Christ has to say to them. Beloved, we can fool ourselves. We can evaluate ourselves and be blind to our true condition. We can be quite impressed with ourselves. But Christ has something to say to us. Simon's grave mistake was to evaluate Christ concerning himself. But here, this woman who is used by Christ as a model forgiven sinner sees herself in light of Christ's words and teaching. And that can go one or two ways. For some of us, we may see ourselves as being incapable of forgiveness. I am too sinful. I've done too many wrong things. But Christ's words is final, that if you come to him, repent, you will be forgiven. You can join this woman and rejoice in being forgiven of your debt. But then we can also be like Simon. Simon is the last person who thinks he needed to hear a message on love for God. Perhaps we also think we are the last people who need to hear a message about love for God and his church. Christ says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Christ says, as I have loved you, love one another. Christ says, as you've cared for the poor Christian, the sick Christian, the imprisoned Christian, you've done it for me. Are we listening to what Christ has to say, or are we evaluating him? Are we lifting our emotions, our evaluations, our expectations over Christ? In the end, those who exalt their word over Christ will suffer shame and humiliation. But those who, like this woman, humble themselves before Christ and receive his word, respond with repentance and faith, will be the kinds of forgiven sinners that Christ delights in. Listen to him. Listen to what Christ has to say to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have come to sinners with love and with a perfect plan where you send your Son into the world to rescue us. Thank you that Christ entered the world not just to judge, but to judge so as to justify. Thank you that you allow sinners to bow before you, that you're not embarrassed to receive our worship, though we are weak and sinful. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Give us true sight so that we may see our true condition before you. Help us not to shy away from those places in the Word that convict us or expose us, but help us to hear them as coming from the very mouth of our Lord and Savior, who forgives and then enables us to obey, to walk in the newness of life. Help us, King Jesus, to be those forgiven sinners that you love, that you delight in. Prevent us from making the mistake of Simon, from lifting our word above yours or viewing individuals apart from the truths of the gospel, apart from grace and apart from our own sin. Help us come to rejoice in your word, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.